What's up, guys? Welcome to the podcast. This is the Injustice by Police podcast, and I'm your host, Joel Twangu. Now, on today's show, we'll be speaking about injustice situations that have occurred with the police that have made current headline news for injustice by police and police brutality. And we also have a article about police brutality and the shootings, speaking about the statistics about that. And I relate to most of these topics about police brutality because I have been in a situation where I had police have misidentified me and assumed that I was someone else. And this was a time when I had this is definitely freshman year, so last year. When I had dreads in my, not really dreads, but like locks in my hair. And my parents, my mom wasn't a huge fan of it. And she just wanted me to cut it before the whole situation even happened. She's always telling me cut it because like the cops are going to judge me wrong, all this stuff. And so one day, my parents own the store in Charlotte, North Carolina. And it's kind of like in a bad neighborhood. So one day I was like just standing outside of the store. Because there's no one coming in. And I was just standing there. And I'm just sitting outside the store. And a cop car. I see the same cop car swing by like twice. And then it goes around the building and parks. And the officer comes and approaches me. And, you know, I'm like, all right. I'm not doing anything wrong. But, like, I'm seeing this random cop already approach me. And so the first place, I'm already, like, walking back into the store. So I'm like, oh, he might want to come into the store. So let me go take care of him. But I'm just walking back into the store, and he just all of a sudden just tackles me. Like, knee, my back, everything, like, telling me to stop resisting arrest. I'm, like, shaking. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, da-da-da-da. He's just, like, putting his knee on my back, telling me, get down, and stuff. And so, I was just, unfortunately, misidentified, and the worst part about it is, like, he didn't even really apologize. It was just more like, my bad, it's just my work, like, type, you know, not, like, a sincere apology, like, oh, I'm sorry, I misidentified you for someone else. So, I mean, and that's the worst part about, when it comes to, like, police brutality, because some officers don't even care, even, like, when they know they're in the wrong or at all, like, they don't even care to even apologize to you, like, so that's how I feel about that. So that's terrible. Like, I hate that. But let's start with these statistics. Did you know that police officers in the U.S. shoot and kill more than hundreds of people each year? Far more than any developed countries like the U.K., Germany, Japan. Police officers might go an entire year without killing more than a dozen people or even anyone at all in those countries like U.K., Japan, and Germany. The homicide rates in the U.S. and Canada and Europe are very high. The U.S. is at 6.10, and that being every 100,000 person through the 20,000. Germany having the lowest, right under 100,000 people during the 2000s. Also, on this, there's a map on this article, and it's showing that the U.S. has the most amount of guns per 100 person compared to the second closest country, which is Yemen. Yemen has. But yeah, the U.S. has a lot, lots and lots of guns per hundred person, because we like to use our Second Amendment right, the right to bear arms. And me personally, I feel the need as to why I would want to bear arms in order to protect myself or against somebody or even by like the military, like, you know, if they were to turn their backs on us or something like that. So I'm all for bearing arms with that. And so I do with that. But there is a huge racial disparity in the U.S. police force. There is a 31% black population was killed by the police, 12% Hispanic, and 52% white. And then 39% of black people were killed by police while not attacking. 12% were killed by police that were Hispanic. And 46% of white people were killed by police while not attacking. Now, when people hear these statistics and talking about, like, police brutality, all these black people are complaining about them being killed by the police, and they're saying that white people are getting killed more by police, which is true by statistics, but what is going on right now in today's America is showing that the black race is seen as less valued by the police, and those are where the killings are happening more now. So the numbers are still definitely rising, as so does everybody else's numbers rise as well. But we are mostly seeing killings of black unarmed people, or black people who aren't attacking at all, or just who get shot for pretty much no reason. No reason at all. Let's get on this next story about Desmond Morrow. So ex-NFL player Desmond Morrow was violently arrested after the cops took his phone for a gun. Now, there is a video of this online, and the video of this online is very disturbing, I would say. And in the front, like, you can see him. Well, from where the video starts, you see Desmond literally standing with his hands behind his back. And the officers are, like, I think, yeah, there's one guy already, like, searching him, kind of. And there's one officer telling him to, like, spread his legs. And his legs are already spread. And you can see that in the video. But the officer keeps telling him to spread his legs, spread his legs, spread his legs. And he's like, I'm doing that. Or whatever. And you hear him say that. And the officer just starts to grab his leg and picks him up. And then just launches at him like that, full thrust. Like, and just throws onto the ground. And Desmond hits his head. Hits his head on the concrete, on the top of his crown, and then the bottom of his mouth. He got busted by the concrete as well, where he popped out. He lost a couple of teeth down there, but yeah. So, and this arrest happened in Henry County, Georgia. The video went viral, getting so many looks on Twitter and Facebook and everything. But the officers mistakenly thought he had a gun in his hand, but it was really his phone. They knocked his tooth out, slammed him on the ground, on the head, and choked him unconscious. And when you watch the video, you can tell, because there's someone recording, and you can tell, like, when the officers knew that someone was recording, that they got, like, that they knew they're in the wrong. Like one of the officers, even though the guy was still recording, these officers were still even being even showing brutality to the to Desmond, because even on the ground they're, like, holding him down when he was already on the ground, you know, on the ground in a position that he can't even do anything to the officers to harm them at all. And so, yeah, like I said, the officers, they knew they were in the wrong when the guy started recording. And the officer tried apologizing and tried play nice with him. But my whole thing is about, like, when it comes to, like, when it comes to officers even being, like, being brutal like that, like, where did that even come from? Like, why? Like, why? Like, for someone who can't even do anything for themselves, their hands are behind their back, like, they can't harm you at all, why even want to use Why even use so much force on someone, especially if they're right there close to you? You know? So, I hate that, especially like when I see people getting like arrested by cops and there's like, you're arresting one person and you have like 10 cops just come and stomp on someone's back, you know, while being arrested. Like that, I don't like that at all. And that's pretty much what happened here to Desmond. Like what Oliver's did to him was wrong, and they're in the wrong. And I hope that Desmond gets the justice that he deserved, because that is just truly foul. And there's a lot of people who have seen this video, especially my friends who even told me like, wow, this video is messed up and this is disgusting. I hope that these cops get arrested for what they did and all that stuff. And these are people of color, people who are white, people who are Latino, Asian, whatever. Everyone has seen this video and definitely knows that this video was not good. But prior to the arrest, they said that Mara was a victim of a hate crime. And he was called racial slurs by two white males while driving, and had hot coffee thrown in his vehicle by the individuals, in which Mauro then followed the individuals, excuse me. And they had made a separate 911 call, and they reported that Mr. Mauro had a weapon, but he did not. And that's when the deputies arrived on scene, and as you can tell, like, Mr. Mauro cooperated with the demands and whatnot and just stood there and put his hand behind his back. But the cops obviously just took it too far. But one of the officers did get placed on administrative duty Friday, pending the outcome of the investigation. So hopefully this does get... They do get in trouble for this. And a quick background on Mauro. Mauro was a defensive back for the University of Toledo. And he played with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2012. And that was the last of him from the NFL. But yeah, ex-NFL player Desmond Mauro was violently arrested after cops mistook his phone for a gun. Our next story is about female officers and how they could stop police brutality. Now, when reading this, it makes sense. It makes sense to say, okay, female police officers could even help, stop police brutality, you know, because they're women. And they can better defuse situations, kind of. Sometimes, depending on the lady, and but that does make sense. But I think when you have to kind of dig deeper into it, and so when I hear female officers, I would say that female officers are more scared than regular male officers. Would you not? Male officers are not just as scared, but you know, being a male, they're not really scared to go into the workforce like that. But if a female officer is in a situation by herself, she's already scared. If she's in a situation with someone, even a fellow officer, she's already scared. Like, there's more fear in a female officer than there is fear in a male officer. So I feel like police brutality by a female officer would happen even more. Like, I feel like police shootings by female officers would occur more, or not really like beating brutality, but just like, and just with like shooting and things of that nature. But I don't know. I feel like police brutality by women police or police female police officers are not really going to help stop police brutality. Maybe lower numbers, but not helping there. But yeah, this the article does talk about when women in policing make a difference, and they have a big difference, they're better for the police department and whatnot. They're smaller, somewhat weaker in physical strength, and yet they don't appear to shoot suspects as often, which is true. But like I said, I think they are more scared than a male officer. But the studies have shown that over in the last 40 years, female officers are less authoritative to approach. Are less authoritative in their approach to policing, and less reliant on physical force, and are more effective communicators, which is true. I can probably communicate. I probably do communicate better with a woman. But mostly female officers are better at defusing potential violent conversations before these encounters turn deadly. They assume. But a lot of studies have been done. And in a 1988 article in the Journal of Police Science and Administration, researcher Joseph Balkin reviewed the U.S. international research spanning 14 years on the involvement of police women work. He found uniformly that women not only perform the job of policing more effectively, but are better to help defuse potential violent situations. Policemen see police work as involving control through authority, while police women see it as a public service. Okay, now that does make sense. I see that, because that is true. Policemen definitely do see it as a control of authority, and I do see where the police women sees it as a public service, but then again, they're probably the most feistiest, in my opinion, and they definitely get mad quicker, in my opinion. If you even not really get mad quicker, but they really can't even do anything to help stop police brutality, in my opinion. Let's get off that topic. Next story. Now, this is the next story we're about to talk about, is about 4 disabled people dead in another week of police brutality. Now, I don't even know how this is a thing for people who are disabled to even be killed by the police. Like, I understand that in some situations force would be needed, but for someone with a disability, I don't see that force being needed, depending on the situation, of course. Like, if they had a visible weapon that could seriously harm the police, like a knife, not no crowbar, and you just throw it and the cops just start shooting at the person in the wheelchair or whatever, but a serious weapon that can really harm the police. And so this is just like hearing that 4 disabled people are dead in another week of police brutality is hard to even wrap my head around. Like, that shouldn't even be headlined in a news article. No person in a wheelchair or with disability should even have to go through police brutality at all. But one of the persons who has died, one of the disabled people who have died this week in police brutality, was Margiel Sanchez. He was a 35-year-old Latino man. He was sitting in his porch in Oklahoma City on Tuesday as 2 officers approached his house. He was getting up and then walked, as they walked towards them, when excuse me. Whew. He got up and walked towards them. And then the officers noticed he's holding a metal pipe. They started giving him verbal commands, telling him to get down on the ground. One officer fired his taser, and another officer shot him in the chest with his sidearm. Sanchez died.
Wow.
And this is what I was really talking about, the metal pipe situation. A metal pipe, in my opinion, I could dodge. I see it coming from a far away, I can dodge that. There's no way in hell that I would ever shoot a weapon of mass destruction at somebody because they threw a metal pipe at my head or threw a metal pipe towards me. Now, the taser situation, I fully agree with. If I see the metal pipe, okay, I might just, and I'm telling the guy to lie down and get down and put the pipe down and whatever, and he's not listening. All right, why not? I'm gonna take my taser out and just tase him and put him to the ground. But even after that, I'm still not using the gun, unless I have to seriously protect my life and protect the public's interest. Other than that, I am not using excessive force as one of the officers did. One officer claimed later that he did not hear the neighbors shouting that Sanchez was deaf and couldn't hear their commands. I mean, but even as officers, like you should if someone is even talking back to you, you should know how deaf people sound or how deaf people react, and you should know how to work, or there should be even, officers need to be trained on how to read those tactics and signs of people who are deaf or people who have disabilities and cannot, I don't want to say perform, but listen to the commands of the officer in a police situation. And that's my opinion. I feel like that's what every officer should be able to read those cues and know how to defuse the situation if you're working with someone who has a disability, especially with deafness or even blind or something like that, because you never know what you run into. But Sanchez he is the first deaf person to be killed by police brutality, Police have shot 165 people in the mental health crisis in the first 260 days of this year, 715 total. The numbers are getting higher for sure as they keep, as shootings keep happening and nothing gets done. But I feel like I said earlier, you know, my whole thing with the disability people, they need to put more training on their officers to learn those cues, because those are going to help them, help the public's interest, and especially, like I said, especially them whenever a situation does occur, and they do know now how to go about it, and for them not to get in trouble with them getting even arrested, saving them and saving the police department and saving everyone's lives. That's what happened. That's what should be happening. There needs to be more training with the police and community, with everything. Training on how to approach people, how to read people's cues better, how to better use your weapons in situations. Like, they should honestly just hold a convention, especially for a convention called Situations, and just situations where the cops can either use their they choose to either use their weapon or they choose to use their taser in a situation that they seem best fit. And then I guess they have like a someone above them, and then that tells them that this is not the best way to go with the opinion, with the situation after they have done their part. Well, guys, this wraps up my podcast. Thank you so much once again for tuning in to the Injustice by Police podcast. I hope y'all have a great morning. Thank you.